Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my brothers and my sisters. Welcome to another edition of Walking in the Light Ministries. Truly, it is a blessing to be here and to just give God the praise and give God the glory and give God the honor. You know, I'm like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, that we may inquire of him and the beauty of his holiness. You know, we have to get our instructions from the Lord. It doesn't come from man, but it comes from the Most Holy One. He is God Almighty. And if you're not getting your instructions from him on how to live, how to move in this earth, you're walking down a path that is not pleasing to him. But if you are one who is getting your instructions from him and doing the very best to live in that manner that he has instructed you to live in, oh, he is delighted with you. He loves you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. I am Pastor Herbert Graham of Walking in the Light Ministry, and I am happy to be with you one more time. I'm happy to be here in the number to say we can read God's word, hear God's word, and apply God's word to our life. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, I am excited on this day that God has made. Why? Because I rejoice in him, and in him alone do I rejoice. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you ought to be rejoicing in him as well, no matter what it looks like or what the situation may be in front of you. If God be for us, who can be against us? If you have your Bibles on this day, I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles and let us look into the Word of God together. We're going to be looking in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, it is in the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at the 15th chapter. Many of us have read these verses that we are getting ready to read more than one time. We have read them ourselves. We have even had preachers to read it to us as well. And we have heard all kind of different subjects about the verses that we're about to read. That's the goodness of God. God can take his word and translate it in so many different ways. Every time you read it, you seem like you get a new revelation from the word of God. We're gonna begin reading in Luke, the 15th chapter. But before we begin to read, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Almighty Father, who is our Lord and our Savior, you are the great one and there's no other like you. You are the one who sits high and you look low. Your arm is not too short where you cannot reach out and save that one that's crying out unto you today. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love, your faithfulness in all that you say and do. Oh, Father, we want to praise you on today because we know you are good and you are good all by yourself. And we thank you for your word that we're about to get into on this day. We ask you to open our eyes that we may see, give us ears that we may hear, and give us a heart that we may receive your word and be doers of the word. And Father, we just want to please you in all that we say and do. We ask you right now, Holy Spirit of the living God, to have your way in all of us. Empower us to understand the word of God on this day. And we thank you for that power. And right now we serve notice to Satan and his demons. Satan, the Lord rebuked you and your demons. Every evil deed, every evil work, every evil assignment that you have brought out against the people of God right now in the name of Jesus, we bind it up right now and we cast it out into the pit of hell in Jesus' mighty name. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this prayer and we thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer on this day. For your word declares, he who comes to you must believe that you is and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And we thank you for the rewards that you are giving us on this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. In Luke, the 15th chapter, we will be looking at the 11th verse. Like I said, these are very familiar scriptures to some. Some may have read it, some may have not, but we're going to read it together. Amen. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 15, we're going to begin reading at the 11th verse. But here we find Jesus was giving parables unto the hearers of his day, his disciples and others who were following him. And he was explaining them things about the kingdom and things about the Father in parable. And he was telling this parable unto them in Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and he will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fattest calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be in Mary. Now his eldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and the father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might take Mary with my friend. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, kill for him the fattest calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, in today's lesson, we're going to use for a topic, and you can use many topics in this lesson, but we're going to choose today to use for a topic titled, Father, Can I Come Home? Father, Can I Come Home? You see, when we say, Father, can I come home, it is not about the Father keeping us from coming home. It is the Father looking for our return home, a place where we will be loved and not hated. You see, the decision is yours to make. It is not the Father's. It is not the world or your friends. God loves you, and he has a special place for you in his kingdom. Jesus was giving them the parable of the two sons. They both were young, but one was obeying the Father, and one was disobedient unto the Father. In God's eyes, as he is our Father, we all are young in his eyes. We all are called the children of God. And sometimes the children make some very bad mistakes. You know one thing about when you're young, you think you know everything. You think nobody can tell you nothing. Some young people reach a certain age where mom and daddy can't say nothing to them anymore. We even have some older people you can't even tell nothing to. Can they help me, somebody? Can somebody out there relate to what I'm saying? Some old people out there, older people, that older than the young one. In God's eyes, we're all the children. But they're a little older than the younger ones. And some of them, you can't even tell them things. They think they know it all. Here we find that the younger son knew that the father had great wealth and great sustenance. And in the Jewish customs, the father will leave an inheritance to his children and to his children's children. So the son knew that he had inheritance coming, and he did not want to wait until the father was dead to receive his inheritance. My. You know, we got young folks today feel that way about their parents. Have you ever went to a funeral and they fighting over what mom and daddy left behind? My Lord. And some of them even get mad even when they didn't leave something for them. But they left it all to the oldest and not to the younger. And some of them get highly upset even though their mother and father has gone home to be with the Lord. They get highly upset because they didn't leave them anything. So the younger son thought he was going to outsmart everybody. And he thought that he was going to ask for his while the father was still living. See? He thought he was getting a jump on things. You know how young people do. When it benefits them, you don't have to tell them to do. They rise early when it benefits them. But when you try to tell them to do something that doesn't benefit them, but you want them to do it, they're real slowful in doing it. And this younger son, he asked the father for his inheritance. Notice the father didn't argue with him. The father wasn't mad at him. The father gave him what he asked for. You know, there are some in the world today, God is giving them what they asked for. They don't want God and his word, but they want the world and the things that are in the world. They don't want to walk in the ways of true holiness, but they want to walk in the ways of the wicked and not in ways of the righteous. So the father gave this younger son his sustenance. And after the younger son gathered it all up, the Bible says a few days later, he went on his journey. Oh, it's time to go now. It's time to go now. I got my money in my pocket. I got everything I need. I got my clothes on my back, and I'm out the door. Here I go. I'm not coming back this way again, because I know the way I'm going is the way I need to go. That's how the younger son was thinking. That's how people in the world think today. I'm not coming to the church no more. I'm not coming back to the word of God no more, because the way I'm going is the right way, because I'm having so much fun doing it my way. A lot of them out there today is doing that today. A lot of them out there today is saying that. A lot of them out there just moving in that direction. Think they're having so much fun, living all kind of ways, doing all kind of things, calling the he's are calling themselves she's, and the she's are calling themselves he's. Can you help me, somebody? And they're walking around telling the father, I don't need your way, Father. I'm going to do it my way. So the younger son, he was out there doing it his way. He went to a far country, place he was not familiar with. See, when you're in the world, you're in a far country. See, things you're not familiar with. Because when you in sin, sin will grab you and keep you and won't let you go. Sin will take you so deep that you can't get out. Sin will keep you bound to the chains that it put around you. See, he was in a far country. One that didn't look like the country that he came out of. One was totally different from the lifestyle of the country that he came out of. And he began to live all kind of ways, wasted his substance with riotous living. Means he began to party. Oh, he was partying hard. He was partying hard. You couldn't tell him nothing. He thought he was having a good time. He was shaking it to the left and shaking it to the right. He was shaking it to the one whom he loved the best. He was shaking it every way, and every way, which way was loose, he was shaking. He didn't care where it fell. He just made it rain. He made it rain. He made it rain. And he was having a good time. But he was away from the Father. He was away from what the Father has taught him. He was away from the instructions of the Father. See? He had friends in his life that he didn't even know. Oh, it's something about when you have a lot of money. See, money will bring friends to you that you don't even know. They're not around you because they lack you. They're around you because you got money. Oh, help me, somebody. Help me, somebody. See? They will come around you and be a part of your life as long as you got something that they want. And this is how the younger son was. He was in this lifestyle, partying up and drinks for everybody. I could just imagine him being in the bar that day and just saying drinks on the house, drinks for everybody. Everybody said, who is this person over there buying drinks? Let's go over there and get around him. He buying the food. He buying the drinks. Oh, they just partying it up, partying, partying, partying. They didn't care about tomorrow. They was living for the moment. They was living for the moment. They didn't care. The building could have collapsed on their head. They didn't care. They were living for the moment. Play the music loud. Give me the drinks. Give me the wine. Let's have a good time. Oh, he was partying it up. But then it says, but when he spent all his money, there began to be a famine in the land. See, one thing, I believe that it was a famine in the land all the time. But because he had a little money, the famine didn't really affect him because he had enough money to pay for what he wanted. But when he got low on money to the point of not having anything, any resources, any substance, the famine took over. See, in other words, he thought he was in a wealthy place. Come to find out, when he went to the far country, he was in a place of drought, a place of lack. And that's how many are in the world today. They think they in the world, they think they're having a good time, but they don't realize they're in a place of drought. Their soul is drying up. They're in a place of lack in their life. They never have enough. No peace, no joy, no happiness. Always arguing and fussing and fighting and cussing. And there was a famine, the Bible say, was in the land. To the point that he had to join himself to the citizenship of that country. In order to get a job, you had to be a part of that area, I could imagine, or you couldn't work there. So he joined himself to the citizenship of that country, and then he was able to get a job. He didn't get the best paying job, but he got a low paying job. He got a job where he was assigned to feeding the swine. And as he was feeding the swine, he was also hungry, the Bible said, till he got to a point to where he wanted the slop that he was feeding the swine, he wanted to eat it himself. Now, a job like that, feeding swines, or you call them pigs or whatever you want to call them, but feeding the pigs to a Jew, that was a detestable job. That was the lowest of lowest job you can ever get as a Jew, to feed the pig. And the Jews had no dealing with people who fed the pig, because they looked down on people like that. So this young man had reached, you could say he had reached the lowest of lows of his life. What happened to all his friends? The money ran out. The friends left. See? Be careful of those ones who follow you because you got a little money. Be careful of them ones who follow you because you got a little material thing. Yeah, he don't have to work. All he do is just sit around and play video games all day long and just eat. I'm going to go over there to his house and just sit with him and play games and get my stomach full. See? Well, I'm going to go hang with him underneath the tree out there on the corner up there. I'm going to hang under the tree with him, and because he's going to go in the store right there on the corner, and he's going to buy everybody a can of beer or bottle of wine. And we're going to just sit up there and get us have a good time. Long as you got stuff, you got friends. But when he didn't have anything, the friends went away. And then the Bible says in verse 17, and says, and when he came to himself, see, people in the world got to come to themselves. People in the world has to be real. They have to be real with themselves. Until people in the world be real with themselves, they will never come home to the Father. The Bible says he came to himself. And he said, how many hired servants my father have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. He said, my father have enough bread in his house to feed his servants. And I'm out here starving to death. He said, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Hear this, beloved. He said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. See, that's when a worldly person come to themselves and realize it's more to this world than what I see. See, life is real, but life is just for a moment. See, death is real, but death is for eternity. Jesus said it like this. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He came to give you everlasting life, not just a temporary life, like a temporary party at the nightclub, like temporary pleasure, like the Bible says, sin is pleasurable for a season, not just a temporary fix, but Jesus said, I come to give you an eternal fix. I come to do this for you. I come to give you this life and to give you this life more abundantly. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. See? Apart from God, there is no help or no hope for the sinner. Apart from God, we must run to God. We must run to God. Because he is our hope. He is our help. And those who are choosing not to run to God, they're in a bad place. They're in a place that is not worthy of them. But yet they choose to be in this place. They choose to live this way. Even though God, the Father, don't want them in this place, they choose to live in this place. And because they are in this place, they can't come home. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. You hear that, beloved? You hear that, beloved? He say, enter ye in at the strait gate. There is a gate that you can enter in, but it's a strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Jesus saying that other gate is wide and it is broad. That means it got room for all who want to be on that road. It got room for all who wants to enter in through that gate and not made a decision to enter in through the straight gate. He He said, but that way, that broad way and that wide way, it leads to destruction. Destruction of what? Destruction of your soul. Your soul being sent to a place that it was never designed for your soul to go. The place of damnation of hell and perishing in torment and fire throughout eternity. And many there be which go in there. You hear what he's saying? He said many are on that road, and they are marching to their destruction. Then Jesus said in verse 14, he says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. You hear that? Not only is the gate straight, but it is a narrow way. Have you ever tried to walk through a narrow path? Where it was just a straight little narrow path, and you had to stay on that path in order to walk through that way because there was no other way to get through. The path was narrow. He said, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few, you hear that, beloved? He said, few there be that find it. Few that be that find this great and narrow way. Few that be that make the decision to come to the Father. Make the decision to turn away from the world and to turn away from those friends that don't want what the Father wants to offer you. Friends that only wants to live in an evil way. And this is what this young man had to do. He forsaken all those friends back there who was partying with him. And he went home to the Father. Isaiah says it like this. In Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10, it says, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. You hear that, beloved? I'm going to read that again. And highway shall be there. And a way. There is a highway and there is a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the simple ones, though fools shall not err therein. See, the simple and the foolish ones will not enter in to this way that is called the highway, that is the way of holiness. And then in verse 9 of Isaiah 35, he says, no lion shall be there, not any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. You hear that, beloved? He said, you're not going to find no lions there. Satan, the Bible says Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he said, you shall not find no lion there. You ain't going to even find no ravenous beast there. Want to destroy you. He said, but the redeemed shall be found walking there. The redeemed of the Lord will be found there. And then Isaiah 35 and verse 10 says, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. See, coming home to the Father is a good thing. Coming home to the Father is the best thing that you could ever do, beloved, when you make the choice to come home to the Father. See, you got to make that choice. See? And verse 20 said of Luke chapter 15, Jesus said, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. See, he haven't even made it home to the father yet. But the father was looking for his son to return one day. Your father is looking for you to return. Your father is looking for you to forsake all and return unto him. We're talking about tonight, Father, can I come home? And the Bible says when the father saw him a ways off, his father saw him and had compassion. The father didn't say, what is he doing coming back down the road again? Look at him. What he doing coming back? He done took all my money. He done took my substance. Why is he coming back here to my house again? But the Bible didn't say the father said that. The Bible said the father had compassion. God has compassion for you. God has compassion for you. God wants to show you his love. And then the Bible says, and the father had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed his son. Oh, God want to put his arms around your neck and just love on you a little while. Why don't you let God love on you a little while? Why don't you let God just kiss on you a little while and show you how much he loves you and how he's faithful to you? You see, the Bible says it like this in 1 John verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. You hear that, beloved? It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. God is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You hear that, beloved? If we confess our sins before a holy God, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the Father is looking for you. His eyes are roaming to and fro throughout the earth, seeing who will repent and come to him before it's too late. The Bible says it is appointed once unto man to live, then to die, and after that come the judgment. There's a judgment coming. You don't want to get caught up in that judgment. You want to turn to the Lord while you still got breath in your body. You want to turn to the Lord now before it's too late. Father wants to show you his compassion. And the son said unto him, even though the father ran and hugged on him and kissed on him, the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. See, the son wanted the father to disown him, but the father can't disown his own children. The father loved his children. The Bible says we are his creation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We were created for him. And now most of us are in Christ Jesus. You see, beloved, he said, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Well, look at verse 22 of Luke chapter 15, what the father said. But the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe. So the son must have had on some raggedy, dirty, dingy-looking clothes. Remember now, he was feeding the swine. He didn't make very much money feeding the swine. Probably just made enough just to eat for that day. The father said, bring the best robe that I have in my home. He said, and put it on him. He said, put a ring on his hand. Father giving him one of the family rings. And then he said, and shoes on his feet. The son didn't even have shoes on his feet. He was going back home barefoot. See, God don't care how you come to him as long as you come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Come on back to me. Jesus is saying, come on to me. Come on to me before it's too late. Come on to me. Repent of your sins. Come on to me and receive what I have done for you on Calvary's cross. Come on to me so you can enter into the Father's house with me. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. He said, I'm going to prepare a special place for you. But you got to come on back home. You got to come on in before it's too late. Quit doing it the way the world is doing it. Quit doing it the way your evil friends want you to do it. And come on back to me. We got to come home. And the father said in verse 23, and bring hither the fattest calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. See, this was a special occasion. The Bible says over here in Luke that every time that one sinner repents, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. In other words, they already started the party. They're just waiting for you to get there. But the biggest feast of the whole party, my brothers and my sisters, the biggest feast of the whole party is when we crown him, Lord Jesus Christ, when we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Glory be to God. See, Book of Revelation said we all going to be there for that special event. See, they started the party. The party is going on right now in heaven. Every time a sinner repents, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. The party is going on because somewhere in some alley, in some valley, or on some mountaintop, under some bridge, or in some castle, somebody is repenting. They could be in a jail cell. They could be in a hospital. But somebody is repenting. And the angels are in heaven are rejoicing. The party is going on right now. Glory be to God. There are souls, there are saints descending into heaven right now. God is calling them home, and they are being descended and ushered by the angels into the throne room of God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And they are being ushered in now, and the angels are rejoicing. And I could just imagine they are rejoicing too because they're in the party now. They're home with the Lord. And they're just having a special occasion for that person coming home. But the grand finale is going to be there when we all get there. We used to sing a song in the church, when we all get to heaven. What a time that's going to be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. Oh, when we all get to heaven. You see, when we all get there, we're going to sing and shout. So come on home, my brother. Come on home, my sister. God is calling you home. But you got to make that choice. You got to make decisions. See, God is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. You see, Paul says over there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. See, when you come home, you belong to God. Jesus said it like this, Father, all that you gave me I have kept, and none was lost except the son of perdition. Come on home today. You could be a backslider out there. You was once walking with the Lord, and you turned and started doing things in the world that was not pleasing in the eyes of God, and you need to repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. And be like the prodigal and come on home. That prodigal son or that prodigal daughter, and come on home back into the Father's house. Come on home. The Father is looking for you, looking for you coming down that street. He's looking for you. And all you got to do is turn and make the decision to come home, and the Father will meet you. When you turn to make the decision to want to come home. And the Father gave this glorious occasion because the Father said in verse 24 of Luke chapter 15, for this my son was dead and is alive again. You hear that, beloved? See, when the son left the Father's house, he went into dead things. See, when we walk from under the guidance and the instructions of our Heavenly Father, we walk into dead things. Yeah, for a minute, it may seem like those things are alive. To the prodigal son, when he had all his inheritance in his hand and he was out there partying, it seemed like he was living it up. The world had a song say, living it up, oh yeah, it's Friday night. And he probably thought he was living it up, oh yeah, it was his Friday night. But Saturday morning had to come. And you who once was out there on Friday night, you knew that sometime on Friday night you go, you get off from work when you got paid and you go home and you wash up and you hit the streets. Only to wake up Saturday morning dead broke. By Saturday morning at noontime, you ain't had a dime in your pocket. But you think back to Friday night, boy, you had a ball. Now you got to go all week long to Friday again. And you keep doing that same cycle over and over and over again, expecting a different result. But you get the same old result. Dead broke Saturday by noon. Barely got enough money to buy your lunch next week. Sometimes you even had to borrow money from your from others to get you something to eat. Because you squander yours and waste yours on Friday night. That wicked place called the nightclubs is waiting for you on Friday night. They mopped the floors and they brought the booze in and they was waiting for you because they knew you was coming through the door. And they even marked up their prices so when you left out, you was broke, busted, and disgusted. Saturday at noon, you were disgusted and you was broke. But the Father said, therefore this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And the Bible said, and they begin to be merry. See, what the Father was happy about, he was having a celebration and not a funeral. Help me, somebody. See, sometimes you could be out there in the world partying amongst the evil and lose your life. Many have lost their life in all kind of ways. Someone decide they want to come through the doors of the nightclub and start shooting up the place. And one thing about a bullet has no name. And that bullet could have found, may find his way over there to you. Or you can get in your car from leaving the nightclub. After a night of drinking, know that you should not be behind that wheel, but you're going to do it anyway. Because remember now, you think you know everything. and you think you can handle this. And you get behind that wheel only to lose your life and maybe take even someone else's life who was not even at the club, living that type of lifestyle. That's why the father was happy, because he was not going to a funeral, but he had a celebration. Because his son was now alive, alive to the ways of the father, and not alive to the ways of the world anymore. He was dead to the world and alive unto the father. The Bible says, love not the world, nor the things in the world. It says that because if you love the world, you are enemy against God. When we love the world and the things that are in the world, we are enemies to God. Because everything in this world, beloved, is corrupt. The things we seek after has corruption all in it. The people whom sometimes we be around is full of corruption. We see corruption on every side. We cut on the television, nothing but corruption. Lies and lies and more lies. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. Keep your eyes focused on the Father. Keep your eyes turning towards the Father. Keep your eyes in his word. Meditating day and night. The Father told Joshua, and then you will have good success and make your way prosperous. And that's what you and I should be doing. Meditating in his word, reading his word, getting his word down in our, meditating on that word. Even when we're laying on our beds, getting ready to go to sleep, just quote a scripture in your mind and in your spirit. When you wake up in the morning time, just quote a scripture in your mind and in your spirit. Not even have to open up your Bible, but you can quote that scripture, because why? That scripture now is in you and it is a part of you. And you thank the Father for his word. And you walk in that word and do your best to uphold that word to the best of your ability. And notice here, beloved, in verse 25. Now, the Bible says that the elder son was in the field. See, he was working in the father's field. And he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants to ask them what was going on at the house. And the servant told him, say, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fattest calf, and because he have received him safe and sound. See, the enemy, Satan, didn't get this son. But he received, the father received this son back safe and sound. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief coming nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. If you let Satan steal while you're in the world, he will steal. He will take your life. A reason why a lot of people who are in the world today have not, Satan had the ability to try to take their life, because somebody was praying for these people. Somebody is, one mother is out there praying for her son or her daughter. One father out there is praying for his son or his daughter. Some brother or sister are praying for their brothers and their sisters. Some uncle is praying for their nieces and nephews. Some grandmother, grandfather is praying for their grandsons and granddaughters. They say, somebody pray for me. They had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. And when a righteous person prays for you, God honors that prayer. But the righteous person can't pray you into the kingdom. You got to make that choice yourself if you're not already into the kingdom. The choice has to be made by you, not by them. They can pray all they want to. But God gives each and every one of us a free will. And therefore, that free will is up to you to make the choice whether you want to go home to the Father. or you want to stay out here in the world and live this righteous lifestyle that you're living. Father, can I come home? Can I come home, Father? Said that the servant began to tell the older brother that your brother was found safe and sound. Instead of the older brother should have been happy that his brother has come home, he got angry, the Bible said. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now, he wasn't angry with his younger brother. He was angry with the father. My. Why? How could you be angry when you're in the father's house and you see the father's compassion and his love towards you and towards the whole family? How could you be angry at the father? Look what the Bible says, what he was angry about. In verse 29 of John, or Luke, the 15th chapter, and he answered, said to his father, as his father came out to entreat of him why he would not come in to join the party of his brother coming home. He answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. See, I love you, Father. I love your word. I follow what you wanted me to do. And yet not ever gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You hear that? He was mad with the father over material things. He was mad at the father because the father didn't give him a calf to go have a party with his friends. But look what the father told him. But as soon as this thy, he said, then the older son said, but as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. The father told his son, said, son, this is no reason for you to be angry with me. All I have belong to y'all. All that I have belong to you. You could have killed a fatted calf anytime you got ready to and had a party with your friend. You know, that's how the father look at us today. All that the father have, he wants to share it with you and with me, all that he has. The Bible said there is no good thing that the Father will withhold from us. He wants to share it with us. But yet, still many of us choose not to even acknowledge the Father in our life. Many of us choose to even walk away from the Father and do it our way, only to find out that we're going to have a bunch of heartache and pain and frustration. The Father only wants to give you good things because the Father loves you. The Father told him in verse 32, he says, it was meet that we should. The Father didn't say I. He said, but it was good. It was meet that we should make merry. See, even including the older son, that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead. He was dead to the way of the father. He was dead to the way of the things of the father. He didn't want to have nothing to do with the father or the ways of the father. And this person is dead. When you don't want to have nothing to do with God and with God's word, you are considered dead. But the father said he was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Now the younger brother was part of the family. He was back in the family where he should have been all the time. But he thought out there in the world was a better place for him. The father didn't mistreat the younger son, nor did the father mistreat the older son. But the father showed them love unconditionally. God the Father is showing you love today unconditionally. You say, oh yeah, how? The Bible says that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. See, there's a special gathering going to take place shortly. And when this gathering get together, my brothers and my sisters, you're going to want to be there. Oh, what a time we're going to have. Where the weary will be at rest. There will be no sickness there. There will be no crying there. There will be joy, everlasting joy. Peace, uncontrollable peace. Love, unconditionally love. Because we're going to be in the Father's house. And in the Father's house, everything the Father has, he shares. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. Not talking about the world and the evilness in the world might be saved. It's talking about you, beloved. It's talking about me, beloved, who living here amongst this evilness, that we might be saved because we choose to come home to the Father. Beloved, don't wait too late to come home to the Father. Don't have to ask that question anymore, Father, can I come home? The Father is standing there with his arms open wide, telling you to come home to him. He gave all his power and authority to the Son because it was the Son that died on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you shall be saved. It's just that simple, beloved, to be into the family of the Father. And, beloved, when we all get there, oh, what a time. You say, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory when we all get there, beloved. When we all get there. Beloved, you can get there today. The Father love and the Father faithfulness is yours. He said away in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, come now and let us reason together. He wants you to come to him and reason together. He wants to reason together with you. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Beloved, it ain't too late for you to come on home. Come home and be with the Lord on today. You don't need to ask that question anymore. Father, can I come home? The Father is looking for you. Prodigal son, Father was looking for him. Jesus gave us that parable. And he's looking for you today. And if you're ready to come home, beloved, if you're ready to repent of your sins, all you got to do is repeat this simple prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you now asking you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. And on the third day, you raised him from the dead. I believe in my heart now, and I confess with my mouth. Forgive me of all my sins. And I ask you now to come live inside of me through your Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, I ask you to fill me now and live in me forever. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen, beloved. Glory be to God. The Bible says over there in Luke that if when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They're having a time. They're having a time. They're having a wonderful time because you repented today. Oh, beloved, let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you in the Word of God on today. And share what you have experienced with the Holy Spirit. Now you become to be a testimony of what God can do to all who will come home. Let them know that sinner man or that sinner woman out there today, let them know today that the Father too wants them to come home. And they don't have to ask the question, Father, can I come home? The Father is looking for them to come home. Oh, beloved, I pray that this message was a blessing to you and to all to whom that you would share it with. Join me here next Saturday at 7 p.m. here at Walking in the Light Ministry. Blog Talk Radio. And go in peace, beloved. And may God's richest blessing be yours.